Want to grow what you eat, even if you're in the city? We'll discuss this and tell you how on this edition of Frank Relationships.
You're listening to Frank Relationships with Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Yes, as always, those are my babies. Thanks for getting daddy started today. Mwah! Permaculture designer Patty Chelia is with us today, and I'm curious, why should we garden even when Walmart sells organic produce these days?
Well, for one thing, we don't know where that produce actually comes from. It could come from California, it could come from South America, and although it's organic, which is a really good thing, there is a lot of embodied energy involved in getting that produce to us. So in other words, the transportation requires a lot of fossil fuel, which is a limited resource. So from a permaculture point of view, we try to meet our daily needs more locally.
And what about the roadside? What's better for me to buy produce from? I live in D.C. Occasionally you can get watermelons from somebody that's just parked on the side of the road. You can get them from Whole Foods. You can get them from Walmart. You can go to the farmer's market. You have a suggested preference?
Well, again, a farmer's market is going to have local produce. A roadside stand is most likely going to be selling local produce. Whole Foods does label the source of their produce, so it tells you where it comes from, so it might be local. Also, we want to be concerned with preserving and promoting our local economy. So when we buy from a local farmer, whether it's at a farm or at a farmer's market, we're keeping our money in our local community, which makes it healthier, rather than supporting a national business.
We're often talking to men, and here's a man question.
Okay.
I apologize, Patty.
Do women find men who grow their own food sexy?
I do.
No, I don't know.
Okay.
I'd have to do a survey. I mean, in general, I think that farmers are not considered wealthy. So if that comes into play, maybe not, but
they may very well be considered. They can maybe buff,
have a little sex appeal.
Yeah. Do it
brains
yourself.
Brains and brawn kind of thing.
Absolutely. And I think anyone who knows how to do something with their hands these days, you know, besides use a computer, is admirable.
So I'm gonna take it to you, Nancy.
Also, you can think of it as someone who's very resourceful and can take care of themselves in a more direct way.
Nancy, you said that they are sexy.
Oh, definitely.
All right, share.
Absolutely.
Share. Why do you find me sexy?
Here we go. First of all, I have no understanding of you growing your own food. Let's just get that out there right now.
But see, you don't need that understanding.
I don't need that understanding.
I know how you feel about me.
Oh, okay.
And it could be the quiet characteristics, because you may not know it, but I do grow my own food.
I didn't know it.
I don't.
I was ready. Thank you.
I guess herbs don't count.
Mercy, oh, which herbs? You know, I know 1, 2, 3. I was thinking about that yesterday when I was preparing. I know at least 3 men who live in an urban environment, mm-hmm. and they grow some amount of their own food.
Now, how are you spelling urban? Is it R? Is it
U-R-B-A-N?
It's not
yes.
H-E-R-B-A-N.
It should be, right? It should, okay. That should be an iteration. I like that.
Ah, you like
Thank
that.
You.
I came up with that on my own just now, especially piggybacking off Jeff's smart comment.
Mercy. So Patty, the one thing about what you just said about Whole Foods and that they sell locally grown produce, one of the things I notice is, and often how I end up making my own buying decision, is often the locally grown produce is not organic. It's clearly states conventionally grown. How am I to feel about that if I'm into, per se, organic produce?
Well, I would support the local farmers market. DC is quite a star in that area because they have so many farmers markets. Okay. And DC is one city which produces almost none of its own needs. If we think about our basic needs for, you know, food and energy and so on, it's such a huge region, and we don't really produce much locally, mm-hmm. Because of the function of the city as the capital. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a remarkable thing that all the local farmers are coming into the city every week to sell their produce. Mm-hmm. And the other interesting thing about supporting that is that we will eat seasonally if right. if we buy locally, which is healthier for our bodies. Mm. So in the winter, we'll be eating more root vegetables, which are better for us in the wintertime to keep us warm and so forth. So it's a more natural process.
Welcome to Frank Relationships, a show for you, my brethren, like me, who are too old to be considered young and too young to be considered old. It's also for those of you who love and support us. We're here to provide weekly wisdom, conversation, and the information that'll help create loving and flexible parents and partners. I'm Frank Love, and you can find me, my blog, and my various social media incarnations at franklove.com. If you're listening to the show on Blog Talk Radio, please follow us, and if via iTunes, please subscribe so that you can effortlessly get the show each week. Also, if you're enjoying the show, and of course you are, please give us a favorable iTunes rating, and please share it with your family and friends on your favorite social media platform. We're always looking for new social media friends, so help us help our communities by spreading the word about the show. Greetings to my super-duper co-host, Nancy Goldring.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm great. The consummate generalist is in the house.
Indeed.
Yes, yes. We've got a special guest today. She has a significant history in architecture and designs beautiful, multifunctional in and outdoor environments. She can take your vision and change a residential lot, a house, a historic structure, farmstead, park, church, schoolyard, or community into a personalized and restorative habitat. So, if you, like me, want to know what permaculture is, any stats related to whether planting a garden will boost my sex appeal, I already know the answer to this, and how permaculture might bring people together, then stay tuned as your Frank Relationship team talks about permaculture with practitioner and instructor, Patty Chelia. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Frank.
Of course. Before we get too deep into today's subject matter, we're going to check in to see what's going on in the news or the world related to relationships. Patricia, as we're calling you, Patty, I hope that's okay, although I've already gotten that clearance. just publicly. I've gotten the clearance, people. Please don't be bashful. We want your thoughts too. All right. You ready, Patty?
Sure.
All right. In line with what we're talking about today, ever wonder what it would be like to date or even be in a relationship if you were a farmer?
Yeah. If I were a farmer.
Yep. Stuck all the way out in the field somewhere. Just you. You were raised by your mama and your daddy, and they passed the farm down to you. It's just you and your brother's a drunk, and he's gone off to the
city.
Yeah. And it's just you to man the field.
To woman the field.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that.
Right,
yes.
Okay.
All right, so what you going to do about dating?
Call a friend.
You ain't got no friends. Well,
wait for somebody. Oh, here's the deal. You wait for somebody who's actually coming through town, going someplace else, and is lost to stop by.
I've heard that joke.
I have not.
Farmer's daughter?
Now that I've heard.
I was thinking more of Bridges of what? Madison County, guys.
I was thinking more of EIEIO.
Oh, Lord.
I was thinking more of what was it? Is when the guy says, mm-mm. Those of you who know the joke.
I don't know that.
I know a couple of those.
Yeah.
I will say this, though.
Yes.
Farming is big business.
It is.
You know, you get a lot of the redneck, the overalls, the, you know, mm-hmm. hoe the land. All. I'm telling you, gentlemen farmers like on Eastern Long Island of New York, they're raising ducks, you know, and as well as, you know, a lot of, you know, vegetables and grain and stuff like that.
Sure.
These are businessmen, serious businessmen. And it can be very lucrative. Mm-hmm. You know, I know Patty's talking about more for, you know, farm to table, that kind of thing. There are restaurants doing a lot of that now and making big business out of growing their own stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, I've got a little 4x8.
Do you
garden
really?
And my wife deals with it, mostly tomatoes because they grow incredibly.
Yes.
So I've tried to put to paper, do I actually save money or is all the topsoil and seeds and everything I put into this kind of a wash? But it is kind of fun. You go outside and pull in 5 tomatoes and there's dinner.
Yeah.
Okay. So
Patty,
what you got in terms of dating on the farm?
Well, actually. When I was a lot younger, I did date a farmer.
Okay. Did you?
Believe it or not.
Okay.
And he started the farm himself.
Mm-hmm.
He was a fruit grower, actually. He had an orchard. So he tried to go organic and was unsuccessful and just went conventional.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite an eye-opening experience.
Is that what got you into permaculture?
For both farming, it wasn't really permaculture, no.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting to observe the farming aspect of it and also the lifestyle of a farmer because it really is dawn to dusk and not a life for me. Mm-hmm. I do respect farmers a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then the task of being a farmer is much different, of course, than a gardener because you're completely dependent on producing a high-quality product every season because that's your
bread
income. And we did have a tornado one summer that wiped out, you know, maybe a quarter of his trees. So it's a vulnerable business, too, in relation to the weather. So, and that is the problem with monocropping, which is, growing
one thing. Yeah.
Just a few kinds of crops.
When you say it's not for you, does that mean you were not willing to be in a relationship with someone who was farming because of the time that he had to put into the fields, or you weren't willing to be in a relationship because
of
he
the
wanted
time
you
had
to
put in
something.
The field.
Right. Or
well,
maybe
I think,
he wasn't.
I don't think.
Maybe he didn't want to be in a relationship
with
you.
I think it didn't have anything to do with that,
okay.
Really.
Uh-huh.
More like personal. But certainly the lifestyle is a consideration. Mm-hmm. And but also I had the opportunity to observe the spraying of the chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
And fruit has tons of chemical sprayed on it. It's just
really
kind of horrific to watch. And this, mm-hmm. this, you know, the chemicals have to be locked up,
mm-hmm.
literally locked up.
Because they're dangerous?
That's how dangerous they are. And the farmers put on basically, you know, rain gear and an exhaust mask.
Ooh.
When they spray. It's a serious, a very serious thing. And when you see that, and I had a young child at the time, and my daughter was very young. And so, you know, of course, mothers are always concerned about what they're feeding their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite shocking to see it in person.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the dating component, there is now a website. You know, there's always going to be a website that meets the needs of anyone who's got whatever's
anything.
Going on. Yeah. FarmersOnly.com.
Mercy.
Or I think it's, I know it's Farmers Only. I'm thinking it's .com. And
okay.
It's a website for dating amongst farmers. And it's national. So I may meet you and you're in Idaho or something like that. And I'm in Florida.
Just a stone's throw away.
Yeah, right. And people connect that way.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know about this, Patty?
Well, I'm not surprised. I guess I've seen similar things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
I mean, it is a very distinct lifestyle, very different than most.
So you're saying Farmers Only is not the only dating website for farmers out there, Patty?
Well, I don't know about that. Maybe.
Okay. And what about people who do permaculture? I mean, are you all considered, would you be allowed on the website as a farmer, or are you something else? Or
you're too urbanly inclined.
I don't really know. I guess I'd have to check it out. But I did want to mention that permaculture goes way beyond farming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I appreciate the blog because that was enlightening.
Tell us about it. What does that mean?
It's about trying to produce our basic needs, mm-hmm. locally. So it's not just food, it's water, energy, even fiber, medicine. You know, so if you say you grow your own herbs, it's very easy to grow medicinal herbs and culinary herbs,
mm-hmm.
you know, with on a small piece of land. In fact, the man who developed the concept of permaculture design is Bill Mollison, who is an Australian research biologist and professor. And he grew up in Tasmania, literally living next door to Aborigines.
Mm-hmm.
And as a child, he witnessed their lifestyle. And then as an adult, he began to compare it to his own Western lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And he noticed that one was sustainable and the other one wasn't.
Uh-huh.
So the Aborigines would steward their environment. So if they saw a fish or an animal dwindling in numbers, they would stop hunting it for a while. If they saw a tree dwindling in numbers, they would gather the seeds and plant it. So they basically cultivated their environment so that it was very productive.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, most of us are consuming resources without any awareness of, you know, how much we're using up.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really the beginning of the concept.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he observed that most native cultures behave that way.
Mm-hmm.
They are concerned with their own survival, so they base their decision-making on planning for the future.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just food, it's shelter, it's building materials, it's relating. You're talking about relationships. This is a relationship to the earth where we live.
Mm-hmm.
So it's what I teach is how to develop a relationship with the place where you live that goes beyond, you know, knowing your neighbors or something, which is all good. But if we realize that we have natural resources like sun and wind and soil mm-hmm. to work with, mm-hmm. we can try to become a producer as well as a consumer.
Would you give a quick definition of what permaculture is?
Well, the term means permanent agriculture.
Okay.
And suggests that no culture can survive without a permanent form of agriculture, one that doesn't deplete the soil and destroy topsoil, mm-hmm. but rather regenerates the soil and doesn't pollute the environment and pollute water and pollute air and so forth. And since it's a design method, it seeks to mimic natural ecosystems by designing human habitats that provide our daily needs.
And how does
food,
that
water,
look?
Shelter, so on.
I mean, what does that look like?
Okay, well, I could just briefly give you an example.
Okay.
In the course, what we do is we actually document what we're consuming, mm-hmm. as like what our household is consuming, not in exact detail, but what is our diet? You know, how much water? We do calculate how much water we're consuming. We also do a water budget and look at how much water is falling on our property, mm-hmm. falling on our roof.
Mm-hmm.
We look at where that food is coming from. We look at our energy bills and how much we're literally consuming.
Mm-hmm.
We look at our home and the building construction to see whether it's efficient or not. We look at medicine. You know, are we using pharmaceuticals or herbs or what? Where are they coming from?
Mm-hmm.
And even fiber for clothing. You know, almost none of the clothing that we purchase is produced in the United States.
You know,
almost all of it comes from overseas.
Speaking of clothing,
so,
I
yes.
watched this show called Naked and Afraid. Do you watch it?
No.
It's a show where a man and a woman are put in a very remote location. It could be another country, Argentina, South Africa. It could be all kinds of places. They're put there naked.
Literally.
With one tool each. And they have to survive mm-hmm. for 21 days. And mm-hmm. I rarely... And so they, you know, once they got to build a shelter and hunt and all of that good stuff. And I rarely see them pay much attention to clothing. And I'm curious, how does one, I don't even know if this is your thing or if you know the answer to this, but how does one go about creating clothes for themselves? And I'm not just talking about clothes to cover up your genitals. I'm talking about clothes that are going to keep you warm at night.
Right.
Or a blanket or
from
something like
environment.
That. Yeah, from the environment. How do you do that?
Okay, well, I'm not suggesting that we all have to produce all of our own needs, but to think about trying to produce them locally.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, there are people that raise sheep, you know, and produce wool locally. We can grow cotton in this area.
I'm not expecting
that everybody can
Maryland.
Can produce all of their own needs, but if we pick some of the things that we can do
mm-hmm.
and then maybe support people or barter, you know, for other needs and try to get them locally, then we start to create a local economy. So in California, there was a group of people who started what they call a fiber shed. And they did a survey of the state to find all the people that were raising fiber crops, so either sheep or alpacas or whatever, and also growing cotton or other fibers. And they mapped these locations. Then they found all the people that were processing these fibers, so weavers, sewers, and hand workers, and so on. Mm-hmm. And they mapped those. And then they proposed building a mill in a centralized location that was sort of accessible to all these locations that people could share to bring their fiber and have it processed and then have a fabric, you know, to mm-hmm. work with. Mm-hmm. So that's like futuristic kind of vision of what could happen instead of us designing fancy clothes, having them sewn in India or China by people with who are making almost nothing, you know, and having them sent back.
Mm.
It doesn't sound futuristic. It sounds like it's happening now.
That is happening now. Yeah. She's talking about the fiber mill.
But isn't that happening now?
The fiber mill, the fiber mill situation you just explained?
It hasn't been built yet. It's a proposal, but I'm just saying it's like, I haven't heard of anything like that, mm-hmm. but these are people who have attempted to imagine how we could answer that question you just asked me.
I got it. Okay.
You know.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've mentioned local versus conventional. You kind of have mentioned that. And you said that what I extracted from what you said was that if you have to pick between local and conventional.
No, local and organic.
Okay. Local.
Because something organic could be coming from Costa Rica.
Okay. Local versus organic. You suggest, what I extracted is that you suggest go local. Is that?
I actually suggest both.
Okay.
You know, a lot of the farmers markets have organic produce. There's one I know of that's all organic.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would. That's now the ideal. I mean, we're always looking for the ideal. Can't always find it.
And there's I go to the farmers market all the time, and particularly, I go to buy flowers, and I go to buy flowers for the ladies in my life. So I buy flowers for my wife. I buy flowers for my daughters. I buy flowers for the living room. I buy flowers to put down just for beauty. I do not buy flowers for Nancy.
Thank you.
I do not buy them for Nancy. Nancy's mean to me on the days when we record. So I'm it's passive aggressive.
Oh my God.
I must let you know that I'm not buying flowers for you so that you can feel affected by it. Do you understand? If I just didn't buy them and never told you, you wouldn't know.
Because prior to this show, I was clueless.
Yes. But I'm letting you know now.
That
you're
you
mean.
Don't bring flowers into the studio.
Yes, because you're mean to me.
Because I'm mean to you.
Yes.
Actually, translation, Patty, mean to him means I'm truthful. Can't have that.
Okay, so I go to the farmer's market. I buy flowers.
Yes.
I generally don't buy produce there because it's so expensive. It's much more
at the farmer's market?
Seriously, it's much more expensive at the farmer's market than it is to go to the Giant down the street. I got my routine every Sunday morning.
Okay.
I meditate. I go to the farmer's market to buy flowers, and then I go to the Giant to buy produce. That's honestly what I do. Patty, here's my hand. Smack me on it and tell me why I'm wrong.
Don't miss your chance.
Okay, well, I'm not going to say you're wrong. You know,
say it, Patty.
It's a practical choice. You're trying to live within your budget, but if we think about how that food was produced for Giant, you know, we probably have illegal farm workers working for below minimum wage growing that food. And so we're supporting that activity.
You know, I never thought about that before.
You're supporting the transportation, too, you know, the fossil fuel. I mean, it's crazy that it's cheaper. I can't fathom why it's cheaper.
Oh, it's absolutely cheaper. Double.
Yeah.
Double?
Yeah.
Now, I know for myself, I've been to the farmer's market where I went to, say, buy kale. And I looked at the Dino kale, and for the price they were charging, I knew that I could go to Whole Foods or even Mom's and buy the same exact kale. I already know it's $3.50. I'm like, why am I paying $4 or $5? Because they grew it. And I'm saying, and theoretically at least, as you said, it takes more to get the kale from farm to even supermarket at a supermarket. Yeah. So I'm saying, how is it that this is more expensive and it may or may not be locally grown and it's more expensive? So I was confused about that.
Well, I think one possibility is that the real estate in the region is so expensive that you can imagine trying to pay your taxes and your mortgage as a farmer. At local real estate values. And the other thing that I suggest is that people join a community garden, which is a lot of fun, and find a garden in your neighborhood, you know, and you get a little plot and grow your own.
Help us. We are city people, Nancy and I, and we just don't know what goes into farming. We don't know about those chemicals that you were mentioning. We don't know about the labor issue that you were noting. I certainly am not aware of it. So help to educate us on the nuances, the stuff behind produce. Getting us food. What could possibly be involved that we don't see that's possibly devastating, that's possibly dangerous. What do you have there? Please draw us a picture.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm not an expert in that area because I'm focused on the opposite. But all I can say is, you know, we have an issue with global warming, right?
Yes.
It's going to affect all of us.
Okay.
Sea levels are going to rise. There's going to be, you know, we already are experiencing more severe weather and so on. So if we think about that and think about our children and our children's children and how are we going to survive all this, we may start thinking we have to do something now. And a lot of people don't know what to do and they don't know where to start, especially if you live in a city. So what I always suggest is you just start at home with the most basic changes. And I'm suggesting that if we change our mindset to imagine that we can become native to the place where we live. We're all descendants of indigenous people, you know, way, way back when. So it's in our DNA. It's something we can rekindle. I'm not saying that we have to become farmers or we have to become hunter-gatherers or something. It's just that in a modern way, we have to find ways to, first of all, conserve resources and use less and be less of a consumer and not waste resources. And then secondly, find ways to produce some of our own needs or at least support people who are producing them for us.
This is Frank Relationships, a show for you, my brethren, who like me are too young to be considered old and too old to be considered young. It's also for those of you who love and support us. We're here to provide weekly wisdom, conversation, and the information that'll help you create better parents and partners. You can find this and our archive shows, they're well over 100, at franklove.com. On Blog Talk, you can also find it on iTunes and Stitcher. What is foresting? And if it's different, how is it different than permaculture?
Foresting?
Yes.
Forest farming.
Oh, forest farming? Well, it's a term that refers to mimicking the structure of a natural forest ecosystem by using plants and trees of different heights. So in a natural forest, we have canopy trees, which are the tallest, and then we have understory trees, which sort of live underneath of those. Then we have shrubs, herbaceous plants that cover the ground, rhizomes that are mostly roots underneath the ground.
Wetlands.
We have fungi. We have vines. So it's all those types of plants growing together in harmony, and they have relationships with each other, like beneficial relationships. So we do that on a smaller scale by maybe substituting a nut tree for the canopy tree, a dwarf fruit tree for an understory tree, blueberries or raspberries or something for the shrubs. We can grow vegetables or herbs on the ground. We can grow mushrooms. We can grow grapes and so on. And we sort of mimic that those relationships. But in a forest, there's a lot of shade, and edible plants in our climate need a lot of sun. So we have to spread the plants out. We can't put them as close together as they are in a forest. But that's what the term means.
Mushrooms are one of those issues that are they're dangerous potentially. How do you know when to eat a mushroom or not, or if or?
Well, you have to be highly trained, but you can easily grow shiitake mushrooms on your own. They grow on logs, usually oak logs, and that's something you could do at home.
Got it. And are you able to do to the multi-level farming or growing that you were just noting? Is that something that you, as someone who designs permaculture, can do in my backyard or in my apartment? How can you interject your services and skill into my environment?
Well, depending on the size of your yard, you could do something like that in your yard. It is conducive to small spaces because it's vertical. So instead of just having horizontal ground to grow on, you also have vertical space. For people who live in condos and apartment buildings, I always suggest they get proactive and see if they can start growing something on the ground. A lot of apartment complexes or condo complexes have land, common land. And I think in the future, a lot of that is going to be used for growing food. In San Francisco, the mayor several years ago had his staff do a survey of all the open land in the city, all the open public land. And that doesn't include churches and other types of public buildings that have typically have open land. And he actually dedicated part of the plaza of City Hall to growing food. And to me, that's sort of a picture of what the future might look like, where instead of having a two-day supply of food in every city, we have a plan in place that ensures that we have a steady supply of food locally. So we would need to go beyond the city, you know, to see if we can grow food in our region and support farmers who do that.
Well, you know what, Frank? I just want to say I have a friend who has an extensive vegetable garden on his balcony. Okay. He lives in an apartment. He lives in a condo. And out on his balcony, he has boxes. He has these unusual, I thought they were those shade lights that hang from the ceiling. I thought they were lights. They actually had tomatoes growing in them. Mm-hmm. He had a couple of fruit trees out there. He has green beans, kale, Malabar, lamb's quarter. It's just endless. And all of this is on his balcony, and he still manages to have enough space for two people to sit out there and just kind of enjoy the scene. It's fabulous. So, yes, Patty mentioned every condo has some land space that people could use, but you could also, I want the listener to know that you can do this on your own turf, so to speak, on your own balcony.
Right.
Beautifully, actually.
Tell me about this friend. Who is this guy?
Here we go, Patty. I can't say anything. I can't mention anything. He always needs extra information that is not material to the conversation. Please. You know, you and I did a workshop a month ago or so? Amshat does permaculture.
Oh, okay.
Right out in his yard.
Okay. Interesting.
That's
cute how you deflected it. That's all right. Okay, we're gonna leave that alone.
Wait a minute. So let's see who was there. Amshat does it. Emmanuel grows his own food, and so does Denori.
Mm, powerful.
See.
Okay.
See that.
You're listening to Frank Relationships, and we're talking with permaculture designer, teacher, and practitioner, Patricia Chelia. Patricia, please tell us, what are you up to and how can we find you?
Okay, well, actually, I have a certificate course coming up at the end of September. This is a program created by Bill Mollison, the originator of permaculture, to teach basically anybody about permaculture in 72 hours. So I've scheduled the course in 6 weekends, once a month, for 3 weekends in the fall and 3 in the spring, so that people have time in between to digest the material. And they also have time to design a project. And I'm teaching the course at the Akokik Foundation.
Okay.
Which is, it's about 20 minutes south of the National Mall in D.C.
Okay.
On the Potomac River. And we learn hands-on skills as well as design skills. And anyone can take the course if you have a high school degree. There's no prerequisites. You don't need a college education or any experience in gardening. And everyone does design a real site. So either they do their home or a school or any site that is convenient for them.
Do you know what it costs, approximately?
Okay, well, the cost is $177 per weekend.
Okay.
There is a payment plan. And so the total at the end of 9 months is $1,066.
Got it.
Yeah.
Have you done?
We do have carpools. There's no public transportation.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how long have you been doing this? Have you done this class before? What's your history?
I've been teaching the certificate course since 1999. I used to teach it at a college, and now I'm teaching it independently.
Got it.
So I have people from all walks of life, every age, from every background.
And internationally, it looks like.
Yes. I've had people from other countries, design projects in their country, France, Africa, Canada.
Is there a virtual component to the class? I mean, are you able to enroll in the class if you can't physically be there?
No, not in this class, but there are online courses.
Okay.
That people can find.
You spoke of seasonal eating and growing, and you talked about that being healthier. Would you elaborate on that a little bit? Because I don't eat seasonally. I eat the same thing
all year round.
All year round. Mm. Yes. Oh, help me out,
please.
Okay. Well, you know, I guess it's one train of thought that if we eat with the seasons, that the foods we eat are healthier for us. So I'm no expert in this area. I just tend to do it because I do grow a lot of my own food.
Mm-hmm.
But certain foods are just, you know, more warming in the wintertime and cooling in the summer.
Got it.
So, yeah. I mean, if you ate seasonally, you would be healthier. So It's not like a science.
Okay. You know. All right. And on the social side of permaculture, what do you do? Is there a community of folks that come together around this in let's say in a DC type area, or is everybody
like a meetup?
Yeah, is everybody spread out around the country?
Permaculture meetup.
Okay. Well, I have a meetup. It's Permaculture Maryland.
Okay.
And I list the course and the workshops that I offer.
Mm-hmm.
There are groups around. They tend to be kind of few and far between on the East Coast. This is much more popular on the West Coast. You know, you just Google permaculture and it'll come up,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And how do you think, or does it promote, are you able to promote social relationships with people around permaculture, or is it just, you know, how many people come to you
if he's looking for a new girlfriend?
Yeah,
yeah. Should he come to a permaculture meetup
if you want to meet somebody like
if
mine,
Jeff is looking for a new friend,
you would attend something that you're interested
tread lightly
in. Meet somebody with the same interest.
Okay.
Yeah. Makes sense.
And there's a machismo part I want to see about. Are there guys who pound their chest because they can grow their own food? Because it seems like a heck of a skill, but it seems also like a feminine thing to do.
You know what? Oh my goodness. There was an article out there that made some notion about growing food being girly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, really? I didn't think that at all.
I could see the undertone there. But I can also see how it's very like strong.
Strong?
Well,
masculine.
I mean, that's a provocative question. I think traditionally most farmers have been men, and if you've ever met a farmer, it's a business. It is
right.
A business 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every decision that is made is a business decision.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people overlook that. There's nothing weak about that.
If anything,
I think that women farmers are trying to support each other because it's more rare for women to have their own farming businesses.
Got it.
But growing your own food in your backyard, and people have always done that. And actually, forest gardening is a very, very old practice that is still used in the tropics,
mm-hmm.
in many countries like the Philippines. It was just everybody did it because they had small plots of land, and in the tropics, there's so much sun that you can put plants very close to each other and have a lot of vertical space. So men have always grown their own food all over the world, as well as women.
See that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I stand.
So in the what?
In fact, in Africa, women Actually, I think Africa is the only place where
in most of the countries, women
do most of the farming. Mm.
What if I don't have a green thumb and everything I plant just dies? Any tips for me?
Well, that just means that you're missing a few things. You know, you just need to learn a few things. It's like, you know, don't know how to ride a bike. You have to learn.
Mm-hmm. It means you should stay away from people.
You want to learn to drive a car. It's a basic need. It's like, why don't we know how to ride a horse? Because we don't need a horse. We use a car. Mm-hmm. So why don't we grow our own food? Because we don't need it, because we go to the supermarket, you know?
But, okay, but you're suggesting that need, as the environment changes, that need, it will grow. The need for us to have our own, to do more for ourselves, will grow. I did see something that said that as the population grows and the environment gets more vulnerable, that we will have to reduce the amount of resources we're using by like 40% in due course of time. Is that real or is that an exaggeration?
No, it's not an exaggeration at all. If you think about the rate at which the population is growing, I mean, there are countries buying farmland, you know, like in Africa, Japan, other countries are buying farmland in countries that have farmland to sell cheaply.
Right.
And it's for the future. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, we have had many innovators figure out ways to grow food on very small pieces of land. So there's a lot of techniques for doing that we can implement.
There are a couple terms I want to run by you, maybe names mm-hmm. or that sort of thing, and I want to get your impression or comment, anything you have. One, Monsanto.
Okay. Well, I'm not terribly political, but Monsanto is a company that has been trying to get control of our seed bank mm-hmm. and get control of agriculture in general by promoting their chemicals, so that farmers become dependent on them. Mm. And this is really dangerous because it's all polluting. And seeds can become so contaminated that they are not as high quality as they could be, or they're engineered to be, you know, easy to for the produce to be transported or something. The quality of the seed is not necessarily what is best for us. Mm-hmm. So it's very important that they be stopped.
Skies.
And also the chemicals, as you probably know, a lot of the chemicals that they make kill bees. Mm-hmm. And without bees, we're not going to have food because they pollinate
right.
plants.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Skyscraper farming.
Oh, in fact, let me just back up 1 minute because I want to commend you, Frank, for supporting flowers. I always say, if you do nothing else, plant some flowers, because most flowers attract bees, and the bees don't have enough habitat.
I'm doing
something
right.
So if you're buying flowers, you're supporting the people that are growing them.
Oh, my gracious. Even if you're not bringing them to the studio when we record, it's okay. It's all right. You're still a good person.
Thank you. Thank you. Helping bees to be here. Thank
Indeed.
You. Skyscraper farming. What is that?
I'm not sure, but I know that... there are farms on top of buildings.
Mm.
I know
in
Brooklyn, there's some huge warehouses, old warehouses that are not in use, that have farms on their roofs that are actually selling the produce. They're not just growing it for themselves, but they're selling the produce. in the city.
How much dirt do you need on a roof in order to plant a crop and on the ground?
You don't really need that much.
I'm not really sure, but I know they use very high quality soil, mm-hmm. and also those buildings are very strong. So the first thing you need to do is have an engineer mm-hmm. Inspect the structure and make sure it's strong enough.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hydroponics, what's that?
Well, hydroponics is growing plants without soil.
You an advocate of that?
Water. And you probably know of Will Allen, who has popularized the system of aquaponics, where he grows fish in tanks in, I think he's in, is it Milwaukee? It's in, this is very good for cities. There's one or two in Baltimore. Grow fish in tanks. The water is circulated into sort of like basins of plants. And you can grow vegetables without soil because the fertilizer from the fish manure mm-hmm. in the water fertilizes the plants. The plants clean the water, and the water goes back into the fish tank. So it's a closed loop system, and it's using a small space to produce both fish and plants.
Interesting. Genetically modified organisms, GMOs.
You're really testing me here. All right. So that's where, the seeds of plants have been altered genetically, and they're not natural. Mm-hmm. They've been man-made. And one of the biggest problems is that if someone grows a field of corn that is genetically modified, that seed can travel, I believe, at least a mile.
Wow.
The pollen can travel and contaminate another field of non-GMO corn.
Whoa.
And once it's contaminated, that's it.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
You're listening to Frank Relationships, and we've been talking with permaculture instructor and practitioner Patricia Shellia. Patricia, last time, what are you up to, and how can we find you?
Okay, so if someone is interested in taking my course, which starts on September 24th, they can go to the acokeekfoundation.org. It's A-C-C-O-K-E-E-K. My website is PatriciaCheglia.com. My last name is C-E-G-L-I-A. And I also have a permaculture course website of my own. It's a long name, permaculturedesigneducation.patriciacheglia.com.
What's the text you use?
We use a book called Gaia's Garden by Toby Hemenway, which is the most popular permaculture book currently. And I also use a small text by Bill Mollison called Introduction to Permaculture.
Along today's journey, we've discussed measuring the various resources used in your home and reducing the usage. We've discussed local versus organic and urban farming. Thank you to my co-host, Nancy. Thanks to Jeff Newman, my engineer. And thank you to my guest, Patricia Shellia. You've been great. I hope you've had as much fun as I've had hanging out with today's ensemble. As always, it's my wish for you to walk away from this conversation with a heaping helping of useful information that'll help you create a relationship that's as loving and accepting as possible. Let us know what you thought of today's show at Facebook/RelationshipFLove, on Twitter at Mr. That's M-R Frank Love, or at franklove.com. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, make sure you like us there, and if via iTunes, make sure you subscribe so that you can receive each week's show. This is Frank Love.